Spirit says, amen. God is so good. Amen. So the title of this series, it's on the 23rd Psalm, but the title is Not Alone. We sang that. It reminded me. We are never alone. Never. Say never alone. So let's get back into this 23rd Psalm. We're going to go to verses 3 and 4. There are only six verses, so let's go. 3 and 4. And let's talk about this. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So three things today. He guides, he protects, he comforts. Stay with me. He guides me, he protects me, he comforts me. Okay, I'm worried. Y'all aren't here this morning. Okay, you ready? So he guides me. It said he leads me in the paths of righteousness, right? So that there's really three things here we need to look at. First of all, when it says he, the first thing is he leads me. We need to follow, but he leads me. And that's really what life needs to be about. Can I get an amen? We need to be about following and not just wanting all the good stuff in life, but we need to follow him wherever he leads. How many know the good shepherd always knows the right place? He always knows the right time. He always knows where the water is, where the fields are, where the grass is. He leads us, and he leads us on the right path, always on the right path. And thirdly, it says, according to his righteous way. In other words, it's his way. Let me say it in today's jargon. It's his way or the highway. Sorry about your luck. He leads us in the right way, on the right path, his way. Psalms 32 and 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Praise God. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know that one. And he delights in his way. Praise God. Proverbs 3, 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Unfortunately, it seems like sometimes we kind of want him to lead us as long as he leads us where we want to go. But how many know sometimes where he leads us isn't where we always want to go? It's a given that he will lead us and guide us and direct us. The question is, do we want to be led? And we all kind of say, yeah, until we don't. Hello? Until we get someplace that's kind of dark and questionable, and then, I don't know. We are led by two things. First of all, we're led by his word. That's the right path. Psalms 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is that. That's why we need to stay in the Word. Well, I read it once in a while. No, you need to get it in you. The Holy Spirit can't give you something that's not in you already. I guess it's possible, but it's kind of hard to give you a scripture you've never read before. You don't know where it is. You don't even know it's Bible if he quoted it. So we need to stay in the Word. All the time, every day needs to be a constant walk in his word, because your word is a lamp to your feet and a light to my path. This word was especially effective back in those days when you didn't have electric lights. And you had to just, the only light you had was that lamp. You had that lamp. If you didn't have the lamp, you'd be in complete darkness.
Wow.
But number two, we're not just led by the word, we're led by his spirit. The word is the right path, and the spirit is the right way. Romans 8 and 4, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I think it's pretty clear that only sons are led. If you're not a son or a daughter of God, you can't be led. You're not in the family. You need to be in the family to be led. Is that true? Praise God. Amen. Also, Psalm 78, 24. Well, forget that one. Let's go to the next thing. He protects. Say, he protects. He protects. He doesn't just lead, but he protects us as we go on our journey. I like what it says. He said, even though I walk through, you're never meant to stay there. You're never meant to live there. Your problem, your situation is not the end of your story. In fact, it's probably the beginning of a new story. That's why you got to look at it. It's not just something you need to avoid, and I can't wait to get over this. No, it's the beginning of a new story. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Whew. You may live in hell. You may feel like you're in hell sometimes, but remember, you're passing through. And you'll soon be out of where you are. If you go all the way down to verse 6, just to kind of jump ahead, it said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will, that's where you dwell, forever. Forever! You're going through the darkness, but you dwell in the house. You're a citizen of heaven, though sometimes you're in a strange place. Is that helping anybody in the house? Praise God. We don't dwell there. We're just passing through. Just kind of wave at the devil as you go on. To have nothing to do with you. Psalms 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. How many have hung on to that scripture? I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. For our light affliction, Paul? He's probably had more afflictions than any of us. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, say moment, is working. Did you know the devil is your employee? Because whatever he throws at you is working for you. You're having a hard time with that, aren't you? Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise God. I read a description sometimes when, as they go through these mountain passes and they're going from field to field, and they have to cross through some of these places. And it describes some of the narrow paths they have to go on, so narrow that you have to have one sheep at a time. That's it's only a few feet wide. And you can see the shepherd up ahead until he rounds a corner. Now you can't see him. And you're in a mountain, so it can be a dark place as well. Sometimes all you can see is the back end of the guy in front of you. I'm just thinking, should I have even said that? I don't know. But I'm just following you, man. I don't, and the guy in front of you says, I don't know either. I'm just following the guy in front of me. But we kind of have that confidence that if the guy in front of me is going confidently, I'll follow him. Because there are times we don't see the shepherd. There are times we don't know where he is. There are times he's seemingly too far ahead of us. And it's dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil. You have to learn to trust him when you can't see him. Follow when you don't know where he is. And sometimes, listen, we have to rely on each other. I'll wait on an amen. We have to wait on each other sometimes. Psalms 56 is interesting as David writes this. He says, in Psalm 23, he says, I will not fear, right? In Psalm 56, he says this, whenever I am afraid, David, I thought you don't fear. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. Little parentheses there, like David had a whoop whoop moment. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. Wait a minute. So when I'm afraid, I will not fear. He's not saying we'll never be afraid. But he's saying, when you are afraid, don't fear. Trust. Human emotions, you know, there's going to be times, there's scary times in life, but we need to talk to ourselves. And we need to say, soul, I know you're afraid, but do not fear. Do not fear. I will put my trust in God. I mean, look, bottom line, what can they do to me? Even if they kill me, I win. No matter what I go through, God's going to use it for his glory. So what can they do? What can happen in my life? Nothing if I have Jesus. Ultimately, it's going to be all right. I will not fear. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, and lean not on your own understanding. How many times do we do that? I think I can figure this out. There are times you're not that smart. You're not that smart. You're not that experienced. Don't trust in your understanding, your history, your past, your abilities. Let's lean on the Lord. Let's just admit I need him every hour. Oh, my God, hallelujah. Number three, he comforts us. Ooh. Boy, at this point, I'm going to let you out early. I need to slow down. We can't beat the Baptist. That's just not. He comforts me. Yea, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and a staff. The rod is like a club. It's a weapon for protection, 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came," can you imagine you're out in the woods and a lion and a bear came? How many of you would be like, "Attack"? No, you'd be running. By the way, they say if you run, that's the worst thing you can do, right? That bear will outrun you, and he thinks, "I got this one." And you know, if you're with somebody, you don't have to run fast. Just run faster than your. I don't have to be fast, just faster than the other guy. So whenever you go in the woods with somebody, make sure they're slow. Okay. Verse 35, "I went out after it." I went looking for the thing. He's not saying it attacked me. I knew it was in the area. So I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. I want my lamb back. "And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard." David, this is a bad dude. Can you imagine? "And struck and killed it." Wow. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear." And talking about Goliath. "And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Ah, hallelujah. We need that kind of strength, that kind of attitude, that kind of militancy within us that says, don't you dare defy the armies of the Lord. Don't you dare come against the word of the Lord. Amen. I know what he said. I know what he told me, devil. I mean, don't talk to him a lot, but you know what I mean. Come on, praise the Lord. "Thy rod, club for protection, and your staff." Now, the staff wasn't for protection. I like to look at it this way. The staff is an extension of the shepherd. It's an extension of his arm. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy, that it cannot hear." What was the staff for? One of the reasons for a staff is to kind of prod the sheep. Come on, come on. Let's go. Did you ever have the Lord kind of... Nobody were sleeping. Did you ever have the Lord go... He didn't knock you over, but you're like, "Oh, okay." I have a lot of those okay moments. Like, "Oh, that's where I'm supposed to be. That's what I'm supposed to say." It happens about every time I preach. You're probably thinking the Lord should stop you more often, you know, with his jokes that no one's laughing at. You know, come on, that wasn't anointed. But the staff is used to nudge him along, and a lot of staffs had this big hook on the top of it, and a lot of times they would fall into holes or fall into crevices and places, and you could actually use the staff to pick him up. Whew! It's an extension of the master's hand. My Lord, hallelujah. It's also used for the shepherd to steady his pace, his walking. It's a balance thing. You know, you get a certain age, they say they want you to have a stick or one, right? And listen, those things keep your balance. Don't, if you need it, do it, because it'll keep you from a fall. Come on. Amen. Poor Gloria. I'm going to tell on her. She was in the airport in I don't know where. Was it Philly? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I meant, Charlotte. And I told her not to do this. Right? Yourself plenty of time between flights because you're late or, you know, you don't want to be running through the airport in her condition with her knees like they are. She only scheduled 45 minutes flights. Her flight was late. She had to run, which is not in her nature anymore. And she fell. She fell at the airport and couldn't get up. And people had to pick her up, and they brought a wheelchair, and some lady ran. And she got on the plane, you know, it was a miracle. It was delayed a few minutes, and she was able to get on. But I said all that for some reason. Well, the staff and the balance. Thank you, Donna. You know, it's scary when Donna's got to keep you on track. Lord, Donna, bless your heart. Whew. It's all right, Donna, we'll go down together. Yeah, I know, you're good. Yeah. Sometimes you're so bad you think you're good. You know, I know. Whew, hallelujah. That old age thing, I tell you, that's something else. But see, if you had that staff, it's a third leg. It keeps you, it helps to keep you balanced. Amen. And I think the Lord is trying to tell us this balance is going on in our life. But another thing that the staff did is he would often just walk with the sheep, and he would use the stick, and he would look, the stick to part the wool. He'd look on the head because pests love to get in the nose and in the hair and the head of the sheep, and they will literally drive them crazy. How many know sometimes the devil will drive you crazy? He'll get in your head. He'll drive you nuts. And it's like you're constantly, always something, always. How many of you ever said that? It's always something. As soon as you get through one thing, it's something else. One thing after the other. Those are those little gnat demons. Those fly demons that get in your ear and your nose and in your head. But he would search them and get that stuff out of there. It gives them peace. That staff, hallelujah, takes care of the little enemies that want to destroy us and drive us crazy. Psalms 139 says this, "You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." Woo! "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." I remember early in my ministry when I read that, I thought, well, David, why are you trying to hide from God? Why are you making your bed in hell? That's not quite that's not quite how it reads in the Hebrew. He's not making his bed in hell, but his bed is in hell. He didn't choose it, but there you are. You don't choose the circumstances you go through, but there you are. Sometimes your bed is in hell. My God, help us in this. You remember the story I tell about my Navy stories before I was married, and I had to sleep. We were stacked four high, and I was like third, which is eye level. And the drunks would come in about 3 or 4 in the morning, and they come in and say, "Hey, where's Rev?" I'd open my eyes, and I'd see two bloodshot eyes looking at me. You wake, Rev, you wake. That was the extent of my persecution. But it was dark. It was scary sometimes. It was weird sometimes. That's all I got. No one ever beat me up or, you know, I'm just, that's there it is. But how many know there are times, that we find ourselves in dark, scary places? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. If I make my bed in hell, if I'm sleeping in hell, you know what? He's there. It's not about just God being in heaven. It's about God going where I go. Now, if you deliberately leave him, he'll still pursue you until you go too far. How many know sometimes sheep can go too far? A sheep could go to where he can't find them, or a sheep could fall off a cliff, or a sheep can be eaten by a wolf before the shepherd. Listen, be careful what you choose. People like to believe that salvation, once you're saved, always saved, and it doesn't matter what you do. No, no. If you choose to leave, that's your choice. And he'll pursue you. He'll follow after you. I like it when he makes your life miserable until you'll finally come back. But how many know in your experience you've known people that have never come back? Oh, God, help us. Back to what I said at the beginning of this message. You have to want to be led. To be led. You have to want it. I don't know how many of us even think about that. We need to get up every morning and say, Lord, I'm willing to be led wherever you take us. Can I get an amen? My God, help us. Hallelujah. Whew. Let's finish this. Last verse, John chapter 10, verse 27. In conclusion of this section, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them and they follow me. They hear the voice. It's interesting, something I learned about the sheepfolds. Shepherds would often share them, and they would bring hundreds of sheep into these sheepfolds, different shepherds. Then in the morning, they'd go back out to pasture. The sheep are all mixed up, but the sheep would know the voice, and only those sheep would follow him. Didn't even have to count them. They just say, oh, that's him. Another voice they don't follow, but they recognize his voice, and they follow him. Isn't that cool? He said, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my. Talk about that extended hand. You are in the hand of God. Does someone need to hear that today? My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Come on and give him a praise. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's shout and praise the Lord. Woo. My God is good. My God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. Father, in your lovely, powerful name, we come. We praise you. We know that your grace is sufficient. Thank you for that. Father, thank you for that scripture that says your word is like golden apples. Just beautiful, nutritious, good tasting. Help us to live on the word. To live on the word of God. and to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me.